possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are we going to get your flowers for sure?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. And Tyler, I know my boy T. Mills behind the glass. He's with us. Don't worry about that, y'all. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Dan Orlovsky came out with a ranking of all the NFL quarterbacks by trait. Trait meaning best arm, accuracy, pocket presence. There's seven different categories here of quarterbacks. Anybody want to guess? C.J. Stroud. How many of the seven, how many categories C.J. Stroud ranked in? By the way, there's top 10 listed. Top 10 in each category is listed.
Does one of the categories have to do with emotions?
Would you stop? I'm going to give you arm strength.
Zing!
Arm strength.
Yeah!
Ball placement.
JK, C.J.
Mechanics, decision making, pocket presence, rushing ability, and second reaction. There's the seven. You want to, anybody want to take a wild guess on how many?
I'll say three. Three out of seven.
What do you think, Tyler? You don't even know. You're too busy in there.
I'm not having too much fun.
You're too in there cracking jokes, huh?
Four.
Okay. Well, he made two.
Damn.
C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is on the list. Top 10 in two of the seven trait categories here. Mechanics, six. He was sixth. Pocket pressure. He was second behind Caleb. What's his name? Caleb Williams from Chicago. Pocket presence. He was four. All right. Now I'm not going to get off into the weeds of whether I agree or disagree with Dan Orlovsky's rankings here because there's a lot of. There's a lot here, and I don't know that it's radio friendly, to be completely honest with you. But when there are certain categories where Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert, those kind of guys are ranked above C.J. Stroud, I got a real problem with that. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's no world where that exists. But let's talk about where he did make it. Sixth in mechanics in the NFL. Joe Burrow, who I believe is far and away, when you talk about mechanically sound, playing the quarterback position, I don't think there's anybody more committed to and more sound than Joe Burrow. Now, you got better. You got some guys that are maybe better or some guys that are in that same world that do it differently. They're a little bit more freestyle. But to me, there's nobody better than Joe Burrow mechanically. Jaden Daniels. Be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that Jaden Daniels is ranked this high, but he is the sexy pick given the season that he had last year. Matthew Stafford is three. I got zero problems with that. I would have Matthew Stafford as two, but he's three here. Lamar Jackson is four. I think that might surprise a lot of people that don't know how gifted he really, really is. I would not have him at four. But I think he should be in the top 10. Lamar Jackson does not get the love that he deserves from an arm talent standpoint. I don't know about overall mechanics. Let's round the top five out. Was Josh Allen at five. C.J. Stroud falls at six. Geno Smith at seven. Dak Prescott, eight. Jared Goff, nine. Justin Herbert, 10. I think C.J. Stroud has tremendous mechanics. I think C.J. Stroud should be ahead of Josh Allen. I think he should be ahead of Lamar Jackson. I think he should be neck and neck with Jaden Daniels behind Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford. So I think on this list, I think C.J. Stroud should be third or fourth.
But working with Clint here.
When you talk about an efficient stroke, and like the quick release along with the power, along with some arm talent, along with good feet, with the right posture in the pocket, the ability to move the pocket, I think C.J. Stroud is as good as anybody already in his career, not named Joe Burrow and not named Matthew Stafford. You know, and so I think he's actually a little bit low on this list right here, Luke.
Ty Praise, you know this position far better than I do and the mechanics that go into it. I expected him to be on this list somewhere. I don't know where I would have ranked him. I don't know if I know well enough to know where to rank him, but I expected him that this would have been one of the groups that he would have been on. Some good company here, but I would also ask you, Clint, how important do you think those good mechanics are where, for example, like Patrick Mahomes isn't in the top 10? Geno Smith, I see, is on there, and I don't know. He's seven on this list. I don't know if people would have him in the top seven quarterbacks in the league. So my question just in general, when we look at where Stroud is for these different traits, like where do you rank mechanics in terms of importance for a quarterback to be successful?
Well, I think they're of the utmost importance. Now, unless you're a unicorn, yeah. You know, unless you're Lamar Jackson, then it's less important. Unless you're Pat Mahomes, then it's less important. Unless you're Josh Allen and is 250 and can run through folks and set the tone with your legs and your body build, and as well throw it over the top of any defense out there. And you know, how important are all, you know, the tempo and your drop and the level of your shoulders and the carriage of the ball and all that kind of stuff. If you are a unicorn like those guys, then it's lesser important. The problem is you know, most quarterbacks don't know they're going to be that good until they are, right? And mm-hmm. So the mechanics are here's the key with C.J. Stroud is when you watch C.J. Stroud, and I think Joe Burrow is very similar to this, when you watch these guys play the position, if they did not have clean mechanics, they would not be as accurate as they are. They would not be as overall effective, but not be as accurate as they are. They would not get balls off. They would not fit balls in windows. That the ability to manipulate the stroke and the release point, right, is absolutely paramount to play quarterback with anybody. But for those two guys, the ability to cut the stroke down and get the release way up tall, or you know, to get it out really quick without much body movement around it, that's how these guys survive, right? The other guys you're talking about, like to me, they choose to be athletic to survive. They choose to have a sixth sense to survive. The being sound mechanic, again, Joe Burrow's the best far and away in my opinion, but boy, CJ's not far behind him. Now let's jump to the next ranking that CJ Stroud did show up here. Pocket presence, I did not know this was the one he was ranked in. By the way, I just heard Sean Pendergast talking about Dan Orlovsky making these rankings, and I was like, I gotta have it, I gotta see it, I can't get enough of it. But I talked about this in my spiel, I think, in the 220 segment, Luke, about camp today, right? Camp today, the joint practice versus the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, there were plays where the tackles got beat and C.J. Stroud would have got sacked. But the big takeaway for me from today's practice was there was plenty of room for C.J. Stroud to slide up in the pocket, for C.J. Stroud to dip under that end that had beat the tackle kind of deal. There was room for him to sense pressure and slide in the pocket. There was room for him to maybe not have the best sight down the field. He could slide in the pocket a little bit and find a window to see whatever throwing lane he was looking to throw through, or to see whatever defender he needed to read down the field. And so this right here plays directly into what I saw today and what I've known about C.J. Stroud, but what we saw today, Pocket presence, C.J. Stroud showed up. He was fourth. Again, Joe Burrow was one. Lamar Jackson was two. Patrick Mahomes was three. C.J. Stroud was four. And then Brock Purdy, five. Josh Allen, six. Geno Smith, seven. Baker Mayfield, eight. Bryce Young, nine. Jaden Daniels, 10.
Saw that Bryce guy today.
Yeah, Bryce, you know, no surprise Bryce is on this pocket presence. I mean, you can look back to Bryce's college years, and you remember, like, the he's back there dancing around in the pocket and feeling guys coming and just dancing around and buying time, and you're like, how does this little sucker not get killed? Well, he's got tremendous, tremendous pocket presence. So, CJ showing up there, I think, is a huge plus. At the end of the day, I'll be honest with y'all, if I could pick two things, two of these categories, as a Texans fan, if I could pick two of these categories and say, I can only pick two, and I want my quarterback to be in just two of them, mechanics and pocket presence would be two of my top three.
God bless, brother.
Decision making's got to be in there, but mechanics, pocket presence, and decision making would be my top three. So if CJ's already got two of those licked, two of those boxes checked, then we're doing just fine, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. My other thought was maybe ball placement, and Orlovsky did say on this that Stroud and Goff were the two he left out, so CJ was just outside the top 10 in that category as well. But I agree with you, and pocket presence is big, especially with, as we know, the way the offensive line has gone for Stroud last year. We'll see what this year brings. You know, Patton Analytics, they crunch a lot of numbers and stats for the NFL, and people always complain, or offensive, you'll talk to offensive linemen and they'll say, you know, sacks should be divvied up on if it's the quarterback's fault, if it's our fault. It's not always the offensive line's fault.
Sure.
But Patton Analytics tried to look into this, and it's not a perfect science, but they tried to judge on every sack last year, was this more in the quarterback or more in the offensive line? And again, not being in the locker room, it's not a perfect science. Anyways, all this is to say, they found that Caleb Williams was sacked the most in the league because of his offensive line. C.J. Stroud was second. Where some other guys on the list, it's more because of what they're doing or not doing at the quarterback position. But the numbers also speak to that pocket presence, or at least the idea of Stroud isn't playing himself into more sacks. It was, you know, solely on the offensive line. And so that pocket presence is really important, of course, when we're trying to rework this offensive line. At least to have that skill set from your quarterback makes it a little easier up front for this offense.
One thing I love several things, but one thing I love about Luke Morrow is bringing stats and info like that to the table. Seriously, that's
the man's good.
Well, I just, because a lot of that stuff I'm just like, yeah, okay, like because it matters to me. It matters, like, who how are they getting to that, like, who's sitting there making a decision? Well, that was on the quarterback, and that was on, but to your point, you know, and watching the Texans, I do believe that more sacks, most of the sacks, majority of the sacks were on the offensive line. It wasn't. Now, my complaint about C.J. Stroud was more, C.J.'s got to alter his game to overcome what he knows is going to happen, which is what that stat line you just told me was. So that part of it to me is where I think C.J., it's more of an awareness of, like, okay, this stat is going to come true in through 17 games unless I play a little bit different, right? So that is the dance here with quarterbacks is, boy, when your offensive line is just flat, not very good, and it's going to be an all-year thing, or when you're playing a really good defensive front and you know your O-line's going to struggle, how do you as a play caller and how did you as a quarterback, how do you adjust and speed up your internal clock, if you will? Real quick, Luke, there are seven categories. By the way, we're discussing ESPN, Dan Orlovsky ranked quarterbacks in the NFL by trait. Top 10, seven different traits, the top 10 of every top 10 quarterbacks for every trait. C.J. Stroud was in mechanics, was number six. Pocket presence, he was number four. The other five, because there were seven traits here, let's look at the other five, right? Arm strength, C.J. Stroud's never going to be in the mix. And I say that, but I don't care. It's not a big deal. It's not even a remotely close concern of mine. C.J. Stroud anticipates as well as anybody in the league. C.J. Stroud's ball placement is, I don't care what anybody says, is as good as anybody's in the league. And I don't care about, he's got plenty of arm. That's never going to be a problem. The second trait, ball placement. I'll be honest with you, given last year, how last year went, I know he didn't have a year like he had his rookie year. When you're talking ball placement, You can't leave. You can't. You cannot leave C.J. Stroud off of this list. Now, this is the one you mentioned, right? That he did. He did mean. He did mention that he left. He left C.J. Stroud off the list.
Yeah, him and Goff are the two names he mentioned next on the list.
I don't think there's any world, y'all, where from a ball placement perspective, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Gina.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
No, Smith. I don't think there's any world where those guys are in the same level as C.J. Stroud from a ball placement special. I can't have a ball placement category and not have C.J. in it, if I'm being completely honest. Mechanics, he was in. Decision-making, this is the one that he wasn't in that I would like to see him in the most. I think he got rooked in ball placement, so I'm taking that one on. Decision-making is where I agree. It goes back to what I just said of, like, if your offensive line is going to be bad, which it may be bad again this year, well, you've got to make different decisions. You know, you've got to play a different brand of quarterback. When you're in trouble and there's pressure facing you, you got to make the right decision. You got to figure out ways to get that ball out of your hand and make the right decisions. And so I think if there's one that C.J. Stroud isn't in that I would like to see him in, is decision making. Pocket presence, he's already in. Rushing ability, he's never going to be in that. Second reaction, I hope we never find out. I hope he doesn't have enough. I hope there's not enough second reaction out there for us to find out, to be completely honest with you. But I will say that I think second reaction, he's significantly better than most people would say. But that's Dan Orlovsky's ESPN ranking of quarterbacks by trait. C.J. Stroud, mechanics, he was ranked 6th. Pocket presence, he was ranked 4th. I think ball placement, he should have been in the top 5, and he wasn't even on the list. And I would like to see him in the decision-making ranking next year. Love Dan Orlovsky. Loves what he does. Love how the quarterback talk. Love the film breakdowns. Respect his opinion. Just respectfully disagree with the ball placement. And hopefully next year, C.J. Stroud is in more of those. All right, two things that I watched, boys, with the Astros. Two things that I watched with the Astros. Luke, I know you're nose deep in this thing with the Astros. Two things I watched last night as the Astros handled the Red Sox that really turned me on. I'm going to tell you exactly what that is. See if Luke got us turned on his idea. We'll do that next.
It's a panty dropper.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Pena hits it deep to left field towards us, and it's gone into the Crawford boxes. JP3 visits us here in the Crawford boxes for a 1-0 lead.
Just to the left of us, a laser into the seats to get things going. I hope that we are home run magnets for the Astros out here in the Crawford boxes.
The guys last night calling the game from out in left field, and when I saw the highlight, because that happened before I got home, Jeremy Pena had already hit a home run, won me $100.
Yes, sir.
Before I even got home. But when I saw the highlight, no, it wasn't. It was not the highlight that I saw. It was Yainer Diaz's home run. Hell, I thought Blum was going to try to catch it. I mean, he stood up, and I thought he was going to try to catch the dang home run. But the Astros win last night 4-1. They win game 3 in the Red Sox series there at Daikin Park. I don't know why I picked the one dud to take my mom to. Luke went and took my mom to the game night before last. The only good thing was I was home and in bed by 9:30.
Find you a few more excuses.
Once they went up 7, they scored 7 runs. I said, if the Astros don't score in the bottom of this, we're taking our ass home, and they damn sure didn't. So we took it on to the house. But last night they win. They win behind a big time performance from Hunter Brown. He goes 6 2/3. I think the big thing was with Hunter Brown there is get going 6 2/3. You needed a starter to run deep given the current situation with this bullpen with Josh Hader going down. Which, by the way, you hadn't been on the air this week. Josh Hader, look, IL, 15-day IL. The most recent reports, he's going to get a second opinion. A spot, I think it was, said, hey, look, it's probably going to be a little longer than 2 weeks. And so just your thoughts on the Josh Hader situation here with the Astros.
Yeah, it's big. Obviously, anytime you have an injury with the Astros, I think we probably all default to expecting the worst. And when you hear the shoulder discomfort, a second opinion, you never get in a second opinion when you get good news the first time. Or very rarely will someone get second opinions when they already have the good news. So I'm really concerned about Hader and the outlook. And then for the Astros, I mean, if he... worst case scenario is not available for the playoffs or out for the rest of the year. That's a big concern to not have that closer at the back end of your bullpen and to try to have to figure it out. The big thing with that is just, you know, the ninth inning is so different. And so that's why it was good to see Abreu last night. And if you look at the numbers for Abreu in his career, he's filled that role 10 times where he's had to get a save, and he has never allowed a run in any of those 10 outings. So he's been really good as that fill-in closer. But I still would worry about trying to do it consistently. And then if, and this might be a big if, we'll see how things play out the next couple of weeks, but if he were to have to do that in the playoffs, that's a whole nother animal. It's one thing to pitch in the ninth inning in the regular season, let alone in the playoffs. So long story short, I'm very concerned about Hader, what that injury means for him, but then also the back end of the Astros bullpen if you're trying to win a World Series without your all-star closer.
Is it because here, this is what I wanted to get to. The part that turned me on here was exactly the guy you mentioned, Brian Abreu. Now I know he did pitch the ninth. He gave up 2 hits. He struck out 2. He threw 23 pitches. But I know obviously those should make you – kind of sit up in your seat. But as I said earlier, watching that game, I felt like the Astros were going to win that game the whole time. And I'm not that kind of fan. Typically, if the Astros get in a little trouble, I'm like, oh, hell, here we go. I felt like they had control of that game the entire way. Although, as you mentioned, they did have some bumps. The concern for the Astros in terms of look, I hope we got good news. I hope you're wrong, and I hope Josh Hader's second opinion is because he doesn't trust the Astros and he doesn't want them.
Fair.
I hope that's the case. I don't know. I'm not behind the scenes with the Astros. I know from the outside it looks like a mess when it comes to diagnosing and communicating injuries and updates and things of that nature. I don't know who that issue is. It seems like it's been several managers down there, several general managers down there that have all had the same issues, communication issues. But nonetheless, the Hader deal is it not having Josh Hader? Because I think Abreu would be just fine. And what I watched last night really got me good and worked up. I love him showing the emotion. It seemed like a little different Abreu last night than the setup guy in the eighth typically shows. Are you worried about the actual closer, the ability to close games? Are you worried about the bullpen, the number of arms, the number of options for the Astros? Let's assume the worst, that Hader is out for an extended period of time or maybe for the rest of the season. Is it Abreu in the closing spot that worries you, or is it just the number of arms and getting to the ninth?
No, it is the closing spot. That is the other concern, is that when you lose the closer and you back everybody up, now you are a spot shorter. And guys typically were, they pitch in the sixth, now they're pitching in the seventh, and they're higher leverage situations. So that is a general concern, but in this case, I'm more concerned about the actual ninth inning. And especially because, look, I know some Astros fans are worried about the division. And to update you, the Mariners are losing 5-0 right now in a rain delay today.
Well done. Well
so
done.
You might get another half game today. But this Astros team, knock on wood, I mean, they should be in the playoffs, barring a huge collapse. You have a pretty nice cushion on the wild card teams at minimum. So I'm looking ahead towards October, and that's my concern. I'm not concerned about the depth of the bullpen, because you can use some of your starters in your bullpen come October that will help fill those spots. But it's that actual ninth inning. And like I said, look, Abreu's been great when he has filled in as the closer over the course of his career in the ninth inning. He's never allowed a run. But it's still a small sample size. And I think the playoffs are just completely different. That when you close out a game like you did last night, which was, a good win and a big time save. He put the two guys on, brought the tying run to the plate. But it's still still August against the Red Sox at home. Come October, maybe you're on the road. You haven't been in that situation before. That's just my concern, because Hader, over the course of his career, has been really good in the playoffs. And that's not the case for all closers. So I think that's just a step up. And without having seen Abreu do it, I don't know if he can handle it if it comes to that scenario.
Well, I don't know if he can handle it either, Luke, but I sure enough liked what I saw last night. I'm one that I like to see that emotion. I like to see that passion, man. And his last night was fun to watch, man, and that kind of stepping up in that role and with two strikeouts, as you mentioned, hitting 100, hitting 101, hitting 99. That was a fun watch as a fan for me. The other part that really got me good and turned on last night was Jeremy Pena, obviously, as Tyler played coming out of the break. He hit a bomb early on and put us up, and that obviously helped. But the production crew for the Astros, they do a great job. One thing I struggle at home, again, because I got babies, and it's hard to turn the TV way up, and it's hard to really, really tune dial completely in, for about an hour there. But I love watching the different stats and graphics and stuff that they throw up there. And one of them that caught me last night, I damn near couldn't believe. Jeremy Pena's number. I knew Jeremy was having a good year. I knew he was hovering at 300 and a little above 300. I knew it was a good year. But, Luke, I had no idea how good he has been in the leadoff spot. Particularly, like how much better he's been and how much better he got when Jose Altuve walked in there and said, I think Pena needs to be the starter. I don't remember exactly what the graphic said. I know you've got some of those numbers. Pena's numbers in the leadoff spot versus before being in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, 341 is the leadoff hitter, which, as you said to that graphic, best in the league is the leadoff man. And without hitting leadoff, 252. So he's almost 100 points better when he's at the top of the order.
Man, he Luke, that is, and if I remember correctly, the graphic they threw up there, I want to say it was 20 or 30 points higher than anybody else. The next leadoff below him was over 300, but I don't think they were close to the 341 or whatever it is you said. I mean, he is, when it comes to the leadoff hitters in this league, he is by far the best leadoff hitter in the league right now. I mean, we're just talking statistically. I know there's other guys out there that have done it longer and have got a bigger sample size. But right now in 2025, I mean, if the numbers tell you he's that much better than folks, boy, you dig into the speed on the base pass and the way that he can manufacture hits and manufacture action on the base pass. I mean, the defense that he plays at shortstop, it's going to be tough to find a better leadoff. Who did you look that up? Who is? I know you're over there typing. I know you.
You know how I feel about Correa.
You're good at that stuff in the leadoff. Oh well, I guess his numbers are good in the leadoff spot, but he's not.
Yeah, it's different though. It's just he's having a way better year when he's at that leadoff.
Right. I knew it was good, man, but I didn't know it was that good. I mean, this may be this Jeremy Peña thing in that leadoff spot is.
What am I talking about?
Not just onto something, man. Wow, it's impressive. All right, I didn't see, but a couple of the snaps today out at Texans joint practice with the Carolina Panthers, but guess who did? Former Texan Seth Payne. I've asked him to come on with us and talk a little bit about this defense because he's got some good strong takes and he had a good tight eye, close eye on the defense today. He's going to be joining us next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly is out. Luke Morrow is in. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. And we've got former Houston Texan, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Seth Payne, joining us in studio. No phone, no static, none of that jive. No horns in the background, alarms going off, none of that jive.
It's as if I'm sitting in your living room with you or in your car next to you.
Yes.
Yeah, don't driving and telling you how to drive.
Hey. I got a feeling, Seth, if you were in somebody's backseat and you brought that bass right there, you'd scare the hell out of them. I promise you that. Man, today at the joint practices are always a tad bit overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fighting to get a good view of practice because there's so many people out there where we're at. I don't want to sit around and chit-chat. I want to get to a point where I can see practice.
And they've got the starters on offense and the starters on defense going at the exact same time.
Right. So today I'm down on the NRG side watching the offense. Well, I can't just flip my chair around and watch defense, you know. So I got a good view of most of what was going on the offensive side of the football. I thought it was a pretty solid day for the important, you know, I guess, pressure points to watch. Mm. Wide receivers, O-line. I heard you talking about some of that on in the loop, but I want to really dig into the defense side of football. One, because I can't bring it to him today. Hell, I didn't see much of it. I saw one play, and it was Bullock, you know, breaking that play up over the middle where he come over the top and had that pass breakup. Other than that, I didn't see much today, brother. So I wanted to get your expertise on what you saw out there, and I want to start here. I've been talking about this, how important this was for a while, so it's refreshing to see it. D'Amico Rines. I don't know if you heard it, but D'Amico Rines
actually with the offense the whole time.
Right. I saw him over there. No, he actually in his presser today said he only saw one play, literally one play of defense today. So I haven't heard your just thoughts on how important or not of that is for D'Amico Rines to be on the offensive side so much.
I think that, you know, for one, I think it's an indication of, remember when Sheldon Rankins was up at the podium during training camp? He was here in 2023, gone in 2024. He came back and he was asked what's different now. And he said, the culture is set. And I think on defense, especially, the culture is totally set and the veteran players understand what's expected of them. And they lead as players and they set a certain standard themselves. So I think it's obvious that the offense needs a lot more work than the defense right now, or at least according to last year and training camp so far. So I think D'Amico, who's talked about delegating this training camp, can be that complete and total head coach that, hey, he's going to have his hands in the defense, I'm sure. But when he's needed, and say last year when Bobby Slowick was struggling or whatever might have been going on, that maybe he feels like he could have been a little bit more proactive and involved in that side of it. So I like that just in his evolution as a head coach. And I do agree with what Sheldon Rankin said. I think that it's not like they can go coach themselves, but Matt Burke has been there the whole 2 years too. And Matt Burke is probably going to be more of the genuine, true, and total defensive coordinator for that unit this year. And it's just it's a testament to where they are defensively, but also maybe a testament to where they need to be offensively.
Yeah, I thought I'll use the word standard. I just think defensively the standard set over there. He can turn his back and know that they're going to communicate. They're going to be physical. They're going to play fast. They're going to quote unquote swarm, right? And maybe being a first time head coach that may have been neglected the first 2 years on the offensive side of the football. And so, you know, last year as a defensive minded head coach, he had to be so frustrated to look up and go, you mean to tell me I got an offense that's not communicating well?
Right.
You mean to tell me that I got these problems on offense? And it's not that we're not talented enough.
Mm.
It's that we've got some internal issues that we've got to fix. And I think it seems like he's like hell bent on getting that part of it.
Yeah, and that's if you think about D'Amico's ability to kind of spot where the tells are and where the tendencies are. As a defensive coach, when he's watching and able to explain exactly, hey, to an offensive lineman, this is why I know you're pulling. Hey, this is why I know it's slide to the left. Yeah, like all of these things that maybe sometimes, honestly, even offensive coaches don't quite understand how much the defensive coaches see. So there's a lot of value in having D'Amico really focus his attention on there. And then the other part of it, when it comes to culture being set on defense, the two teams that really stick out in my mind in terms of having player-led cultures for a long time would be the Steelers defense for a long time, and then the Ravens for like the past two decades. A lot of that really came from the defensive side of the ball. Yep. And they create this culture where the older players pass it on down to the younger players, and then those guys just kind of have a certain psychotic bent to them that they expect. And you don't want to go on cruise control as a coach, but you can, and I don't want to say you don't want to worry about it, but you might not have to manage it as much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hadn't thought about it that deeply until you asked me about it.
That's a great point with thinking Baltimore.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
In Pittsburgh, and kind of how it's become the entire identity, but it started on defense. It's become the identity of hell, the organization, not just the team. It's the whole organization.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to the Steelers had that stretch there in the 90s where whatever, but going back to the 70s, it was a lot about their identity on defense.
That's a good look. What about defensively on the field action, player wise, scheme wise? What'd you see today defensively?
I think the two things that I'm concerned about with the defense in terms of just them being, hey, can you be a top three defense, is the big plays allowed, which they, for how good they were down in, down out. I always tell Sean, they were like 97% of the time they were awesome. And then 3% of the time it was a 30 yard touchdown reception, or it was a long run burst. And I thought today there were some shot plays to Xavier Leggett, to Tet McMillan, the rookie, and those guys looked really good. A few of those were when they were well covered. I got a credit to like Bryce Young. I watched today and I thought, oh yeah, that's how a kid that's 5'9" and 170 pounds gets drafted number one overall. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. He can throw the football pretty well. He made some really beautiful throws to guys who were covered. The ones that concern me are some of the ones where guys were just wide open. And, you know, I'm watching the defensive line, and then I lift my eyes up, but I see a tight end wide open with nobody around him, yeah, or somebody over the middle with nobody around him. That's where I start to worry about, okay, that's the safeties and the linebackers typically. And some of the linebackers in coverage last year weren't so great. Some of the busts in the secondary were obviously because of young defensive backs. So with the one safety position being so much up in the air right now, and then still wanting to see more out of the linebackers in coverage, some of those wide open uncovered receptions where there were something got blown somewhere, that concerns me a little bit.
Well, with D'Amico, and I, look, he can do damn near anything he wants with the personnel, at least from theoretically.
Yeah.
But with the pressure kind of suffocating style that he seems to want to play, boy, if you're not on it across the board, you can get in that kind of trouble.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too. I try real hard not to make excuses for these guys because it's so easy when it's not full contact. There is an element of the Texans defense that their plays made behind the line of scrimmage, just that's what drives them. It's not just sacks, it's tackles for a loss. It's all of these really aggressive plays, and then obviously the interceptions. So I think sometimes, you don't want to read too much into a few plays in any practice, really. But you got to watch a game play out to see, all right, well, Derek Stingley had a couple interceptions. Azeez Elshire had a forced fumble. Those are the kinds of things that flip the tables a lot in a regular season game. So I do think there's no way the Panthers are as bad as they were last year. They helped Bryce Young out a lot. They've got some good offensive linemen there. They brought in 5 free agents as potential starters on defense. I mean, that was one of the worst scoring defenses in NFL history last year. So I think the Panthers are a better team. And I think that today it was back and forth. If we're gonna act like today was just an absolute indication of how these two teams are, I would say the Panthers are better than we thought they were going to be. And if I had to play that exercise, I'd say, okay, I think the Texans still have a little work to do, and on offense especially, because I think the offensive line was better than I feared they would be if I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. But in the run game, I didn't see that push that I saw in the first series last week.
Right. What about the secondary with the Texans, the cover defenders?
Yeah.
I've been on the the Jalen Smith train, like how important Jalen Smith is with his team, that has been a stick for me for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, since he was drafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I heard you talking this morning about the overall depth in that second. If there is concern, whatever, worry, weakness, whatever you want to call it, that seems to be one you want to keep your eye on.
Yeah, and I think that, and some of that is just in that, hey, you know, some of these guys have been on the team for a while, and you like Miles Bryant for some of the things he can do in the slot, but that's one of your main backups at this point. Jalen Smith is an unproven rookie. You've got Tremont Smith. You've got just things that if one of these guys are starting opposite of Derek Stingley or Kamari Lassiter, and that you also still have, you know, Jalen Petrie's got, you know, some concerns when he's playing man in the slot, you're at a disadvantage sometimes. You know, you got to scheme your way around that. And I still wouldn't be surprised if at some point, depending on how Jalen Smith develops or anything else, Nick, like Casario always loves signing corners and getting corners. There's a reason Damon Arnett is on this team right now.
Yeah.
Unless I missed something. I assume he's still on the team.
Okay, well, he was you. Last. I didn't right. see him today, okay. But I didn't watch the defense. Yeah. But he's been out there. Yes.
Yeah. I just, every time I look up, there's like I missed a transaction.
Yeah,
he signed that tight end yesterday. Yeah. He's got like 17 career receptions.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to keep up with those kind. What, you know, here's where, staying on that secondary topic real quick, Seth, the Jalen Smith, one reason why I've kind of dialed in on him is because obviously what we just talked about, the depth at that cover position. Yeah. But boy, you go from being maybe a weakness or a concern to a huge plus, because with a Jalen Smith, even if he's an outside corner, an everyday outside corner, and that's all he is, he's never going to be a guy that can play inside.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Kamari Lassiter be really, really effective inside.
Yeah.
And to give D'Amico Ryans the ability to like, again, in a situation where you want to play man, take Petrie off the field, slide Lassiter inside with another corner that you can trust. I mean, that is a huge weapon a big time adjustment that can be made at any point in time. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a nickel defender or a slot corner. Just anybody in that cover corner group steps up. Boy, D'Amico.
So you don't think Jalen Smith? You don't like him at the slot?
No, well, he can be the slot. Yeah, okay. Any way it goes, I just really like Lassiter's.
The
little bit that we saw, like when we talked about it last year, I thought Lassiter needed to be an inside corner to more protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I was wrong, and he is a great outside corner in his own right.
Yeah.
But when they did late in the season last year move Lassiter down there, he's a cover corner that has some very similar instincts to Petrie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, if the Smith kid has that, cool, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But just the ability to have a guy that can rush the passer, a guy that's got great instincts to play the run, a guy that's a more than willing tackler, but by the way, he can also cover, play that slot corner spot would be something that I think D'Amico would really embrace.
Yeah, and I think that's where when I bring up Jalen Petrie that he's got weaknesses in coverage, it's not like I'm criticizing him. I mean, he's a safety. He's not those guys, if you got a guy in the slot, that's a cornerback that's down there. So he's going to have some limitations. So as teams are looking at this defense the entire offseason, they know that Jalen Petrie's got certain weaknesses when he's lined up in there in the slot. So the Texans are going to have to get a little bit creative in moving guys around to begin with.
You said you think about it, man. To if you play the first half and they're targeting Jalen Petrie, and they're getting at him a little bit. Well, you go in at halftime, all of a sudden you come out at half, and now you slid Kamari in there, and you've got a corner that you really trust outside. Now you've created some problems. Now you've changed the whole look for the quarterback. Now you've taken this weapon that I had all this success with in the first half, and I'm fixing to come out here and light your ass up. Now all of a sudden, you got a physical, corner that can cover the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And by the way, might hit me in the chin if I don't keep my eye on him as a quarterback. So I think it's a weapon.
I think with Jalen Smith or any young defensive back or any young player in the rookie year, the thing that's always interesting too is there are guys that just simply they benefit from just actually game planning.
Yeah.
Like the kids that are smart and the kids that actually are on it, they look a lot better as they start getting into the groove of an NFL season and can study tendencies. When you go, it's frustrating when you're young, especially, and you're still trying to figure it out, and you go into these teams and these games kind of blind. You really don't study them or game plan the way you usually do. And the coaches always say, well, we want to see the physical battle. And you're like, well, yeah, in a realistic situation, like I've worked harder than the dude I'm playing and know his tendencies and everything. So, let's make this a little bit more realistic, can we? How about the guys that are playing really well when it's just a physical battle and then they're idiots when it gets to the regular season?
How about Cade Stover today cracking that defensive lineman on it? It looked like a little trap, and I was just like, what? I mean, I bet Big Boy, what's his name, that damn D tackle?
That was Derek Brown.
Yeah, I bet Derek Brown was like, damn, we ain't even seen film on you guys yet, and you're whamming
me. That's on Derek Brown because he's not allowed to cut. He's not going to cut in this. You know he's going to go high.
No excuse for
getting whammed that hard.
That was great, man. All right, Seth, we appreciate you, man, and I know you're a busy man, especially when you – when the Texans got to have a game that week. I know you're busy. I appreciate you joining us.
Oh, it's always my pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, that is Seth Payne. We just hit the defense. We'll talk a little bit more about the offensive side of today's joint practice for the Houston Texans. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.